Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now we understand what's happening here. The Lord has risen from the dead. He is meeting them here as a group afterwards. And one of the first things, if not the first thing, that they ask him is this the time that you're going to restore the kingdom? And it shows you where their heads were at. And I understand that, and to a degree, humanly speaking, spiritually and biblically, they should have had better sense, because he had told them plenty times, and they should have known sufficiently that the time of the kingdom had been postponed, and that there was, instead of a kingdom, as far as an earthly kingdom, the Lord's going to be working on a heavenly kingdom. But their minds are on the earth. They are horizontally focused. Now let's continue reading. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up with a cloud, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. Now notice, their focus has changed. Their focus clearly in the earlier verses, verse 6, it's a horizontal focus. Are you going to take care of this? Are you going to set up your kingdom now? Are you going to deal with these earthly problems? Are you going to deal with our issues? And he, as he speaks and finishes his speech, he ascends to heaven, and their focus is changed from horizontal to vertical. Instead of looking around, they now are looking up. And continue reading this in verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud, and received that, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then return they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. Here we find their focus changed. They, even though they've gone through what they have gone through and experienced what they've experienced with the Lord, and he has told them what he has told them, and they have seen what they have seen, they're still focused on the earth. They're still focused on the horizontal. But then when he ascends, their focus changes, and they look upward. And like most people, just to make sure they don't go from one extreme to the other, the angels come and say, what are you looking at? I would still be looking myself, I'm sure. I would wait until I could no longer see him, and I would keep looking, and just like me, they were doing the same. But the angels come from the Lord and say, why are you gazing up toward heaven? Now, he is not saying that our focus should never be upward. In fact, that's what I'm going to preach on this evening. But what he is saying is, you don't want to be so heavenly focused that you lose sight of the world. Someone has said it like this: being so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Probably it fits us more that we would say we're so earthly minded that we're no heavenly good. But the point of my message tonight is this: their focus has changed from the earthly, from the horizontal, from the here and now, to the heavens. It has focused, their focus has changed to the upward. In other words, they are thinking about leaving. They understood, have been told, and even though their focus had not been about leaving this world, it had been fixing this world and straightening out this mess. But now their focus has changed. Their heart has moved toward the heavenly. Their attention has moved up toward the things of Christ and the heavenly things. And so I want to try to preach this message tonight: leaving living. Living as though we could leave at any moment. The point of the message, the point of the verses, I believe, is this: that we don't focus so much only on the horizontal that we forget the vertical. That we don't focus just so much on the earthly that we forget the heavenly. Not also go to the other extreme of focusing so much on the heavenly. Can't wait to get to heaven. Can't wait to get there. That we lose focus of the earth and that we have something we're to do until we leave. I call that leaving living. Living in a way to where you're ready to leave. Living in a way to where you want to get out of here. You don't lose focus of what's going on around you, but your heart is more toward heaven. Your affection, your attention is more on the heavenly and on the spiritual. I think that's exactly what Paul's saying in Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Listen, set your affection, the things you love, on things above and not on things of the earth. I believe Paul was talking there about leaving living. Living in a way to where we're ready to leave. Living in a way to where we want to leave. Living in a way to where we know we could leave at any moment. But until we do leave, we've got some living to do. We have some things Christ wants us to do. That's what the angels are saying. Oh, it's not time to gaze, it's time to go. It's not time to look, it's time to labor. You see, we are a heavenly people. Our citizenship is in heaven. And there's nothing wrong at all in thinking about how good it will one day to be out of this world. I think about that quite often. I believe the Bible encourages us to do that. For it will help us to realize that in the midst of the mess we're in right now, one day I'm going to be out of this mess. One of these days these troubles will be over. One of these days these trials will be behind us. And it'll help us today in the nasty now and now to think about the sweet by and by. And that's exactly what the Lord's trying to teach. That's what Paul was trying to teach. That's what I'm trying to preach tonight. That's why Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Oh, if we love the things of God, our focus will be on heaven and spiritual things and doing His will. But it won't just be toward heaven. It won't just be up. We'll not lose focus at the horizontal. We'll realize that if we're to do His will, we'll have to serve Him down here in this world. If you're leaving living, you'll be ready to live here. Notice what it says. Verse 11 and 12. which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again in like manner. We know this is the second coming, not the rapture, by the way. As ye have seen him go into heaven, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet. Now, there's an important fact that we need to realize as we read those verses. He left, but he didn't just leave here. He left them. He left, but when he left them behind. I mean by that, he did not take them with him. And there's a reason for that. He left them behind to live in this world. That's what leaving living is. It's living in the here and now. It's living in this nasty world. It's putting up with the problems. It's dealing with the issues. And while we're living here, we need to keep in mind some things. We need to remember his words. Look in verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. You know what Luke's saying? I'm just reminding you what the Lord said and what he did. And if we're going to be leaving living, if we're going to live in this world with heaven in mind, but still be some earthly good, we must remember the Lord's words, what he has said. He had spoken to those disciples, and what he had said had been important. He was not just wasting time. He was not just filling silence when he spoke to them. And every word he spoke to help them and to aid them, to teach them, to warn them, to prepare them for what was ahead. And the same God that talked with them and walked with them in a body walks and talks with us this evening. And when he speaks, he wants us to hear because we need to know what he's saying. He knows what we're living in. He realizes what world we're in. He knows the issues of life. He knows what we face tomorrow. And he wants to speak to us to where we can live as though we're leaving at any moment. Where we can live with our heart toward heaven, but a heart toward the world at the same time. Where we can live as we should and not how we please. Where we can live as he desires. We need to be ready to live here, right now, today. Some of the things he says were things like this. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. What's he saying? He's saying do some leaving living. Live with your heart toward heaven, but your mind toward the earth. Realize as you live every day of your life, oh, what you build up in this world will decay. It's already contaminated. The best we can have in this world one day will fall apart. The best treasures, the most expensive of everything, one day will decay. And the Lord says, don't live with your mind toward the horizontal. Don't live for today. Don't live for this world. Live with the other world in mind. Keep your focus upward. He says, you need to be ready to live and be ready to leave at the same time. That's called tonight leaving living. And if we're leaving living, we're ready to live here right now. He said, don't forget what I did. Don't forget what I said. You see, it says there again, he began both to do and to teach. He said, the things I've done, the things I did while we walked together, that was not just me showing off. That was not me just demonstrating my ability just to impress you. The things I did as an example to you. Oh, some will say Jesus' example is all we have to follow. You do good like Jesus did good, and you love like Jesus loved, and you be kind like Jesus was, and you give like Jesus did, and you'll make it to heaven. Oh, that's not the kind of example he was. But his life still, and what he did still, was an example that we are to follow. And living means I'm living here right now today. I'm not yet in heaven. I must be ready to live here where I'm living today in this nasty world. Jesus walked the earth with them, spoke words to help them, did works to help them, to show them how to live in this world right now. And he's done the same thing with us. Through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, he does the same thing. If we're living, we'll be ready to live here. Look in verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. And a cloud received them out of their sight, And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven?" And in verse 12, "Then returned they unto Jerusalem. The angels came and saw the disciples gazing." They in essence says, it is not time to gaze. It is time to go. So living, if we're really living, living in a way to where we're ready to leave, living in a way to where we want to leave, we will not only be ready to live here, we'll be ready to labor here. He said, oh, keeping your eyes on heaven, it's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. It'll help you. But you can't keep your focus only on heaven. You can't go around just looking about what heaven's going to be like. And oh, I can't wait to get there. And what a wonderful place. And I'm glad I'm going. And I can't wait to get here. Because if you do that all the time, you'll forget there's labor to be done. There's something Christ wants you to do. Because, said again, it's not time to gaze. It's time to go. It's time to do. It's time to serve. And living involves labor. He says, I got something I want you to do. I want you to go. And they left. They went. They followed his directions. He himself came to this world to do the Father's will. Now he has instructed us to do the Father's will, to labor. Part of our walk in this world, even though we're heading to heaven, and we ought to focus on the beauty and glory and the splendor and the excitement of it all, oh, part of that means I got to live in the nasty now. And as I live in this nasty world, God has a work he wants me to do. He wants me to labor. Just like Jesus came to do the Father's will, we need to do the Father's will. Jesus said, as the Father gave me commandments, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. He said, the Father gave me instructions. I'm doing them. Now I have instructions for you. Let's go do that. Living means I'm ready to leave, and sure, but I'm ready to live right here and labor right here until he calls me home. Hope you're getting this. Maybe too many L's in my message tonight. Jesus also said, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Jesus says, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Oh, we need to remember his will. Oh, I'm going to heaven. And I ought to focus on it. And I ought to be glad that I'm going and be anticipating it and excited about it and let it help me. But as I focus upward, I dare not miss looking around, laboring, doing the Father's will. He has sent me just like the Father sent him. Notice what it says in verse 4. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. He mentions to them and reminds them of the Holy Spirit. And he does that because there was a great need in their lives. Hear me what he's saying. He knows he's about ready to leave. And he's not going to just leave them. He's going to leave them. He's not just leaving them, but he's leaving them behind to labor. And he says, I just want to warn you. The labor I have for you and the will I have for your life, it is urgent. It is important. It is vitally important to the kingdom of God's sake. But don't you strike off on your own. Don't you get so excited about it, you take off. He says, you wait. Wait here until you are endued with power. What am I saying? What was he saying? If you're going to labor for me, you better get my power. Because all the labor you can try and all the work you can try and all the good deeds you can do and everything you try on your own will be useless and vain and void unless you have my power. What am I talking about? Leaving, living. If we're leaving, living, if we're living ready to leave, we'll be ready to live here. But we'll be ready to labor here. Oh, I'm going to heaven. My affection, hopefully, is focused on that. My love, my care, that means the most to me, ought to be the things of heaven. But I can't focus only on that. I must focus horizontally. I must live here now until I leave. I must labor here now until I leave. And as we labor, we need his touch. We need his spirit. We need it because we need his power. But we need it because we just need his help. That's why he says, I send you another comforter. I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave and leave you alone. I'm going to send another one just like me. That's why we need the Spirit to walk in this world, to labor for him, to serve him with any kind of help, with any kind of victory, with any kind of power. We need the touch of God. And only the Holy Spirit can teach us how to walk through this world and live for him, ready to leave at any moment. That's why he warned them, you don't go without my spirit. Leaving, living means we're ready to live here. Oh, I want to go. But until it's time for me to go, I got a life to live. Leaving, living means I'm going to need to labor here. I must be ready to, even though my heart's toward heaven, and I love the things of God, and I long for those things, and my affection, and my love, and my compassion, and my care, and my heart, and my focus is upward and heavenly. I got to labor. I got a job. God wants me to do something. Until I leave, I need to labor. But then also, leaving, living means we're ready to live here. We're ready to labor here, and then we're ready to leave here. Verse 11, the last part said, is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Again, that's talking about the second coming, but the thought is, he has gone, but he ain't going to stay gone. He's coming back for the child of God in this age. That's the rapture. He's coming back, and when he comes back, we're going home. We're leaving out. He left them behind because there was a life they had to live, a labor they had to do, a will they had to accomplish. But they also knew, and we know, one of these days, that one who left is coming back. And when he comes back, we're going to leave. And leaving living means I'm ready to leave at any moment. Could I say it again? Our focus needs to be on the things of heaven. The things of the world should not interest us so much. Our love and our care and our compassion and that drives us and that makes our heart throb should be the things of heaven. The spiritual things, the righteous things, the things of God. That should be where our focus is. That should be where our heart is. And even though we focus toward heaven and love those things, we still have to live here. One of these days we're going to leave. And we need to live today as though we're going to leave today. We need to live now as though we're going to leave at any moment, because we could. At any moment we could leave. The Lord never says, be so heavenly minded you forget about the earth. He didn't say that. There's a balance. But if we're going to live ready to leave, we got to live every moment as though we could leave any moment. And that's exactly what he said in these verses. Paul said it like this in Philippians 3, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. He says, our citizenship, our names are written in heaven. That's where we live. But until we go there, we got to live here. He also said in Colossians 3, 1 and 2, I'll read it again. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. If we're living, if we're living in a way to where we're ready to leave at any time, you know what? Problems won't stop us. Because the worst problem I have on earth is temporary. The worst thing I can go through, the worst thing I could face if it lasted my entire life, is nothing compared to heaven. And if we live ready to leave, if we are living in a way to where we can leave at any moment, keeping our attention and our affection and our love to the things of God and not the things of the world, the worst problem I have should just be a little bump in the road. Should be. All of our heart is toward heaven. The worst thing we face will just be an indication to us that heaven's going to be sweeter. If we're living, oh, we will not be worried about problems. Problems won't stop us. People won't scare us. What could somebody do to you? Worst thing they could do is send you to heaven. If our focus is on heaven and we realize I'm really going there, I'm a citizen of a better land, it doesn't really matter if somebody mistreats me. Oh, what's that going to matter when I get to heaven? What's it matter if somebody steals something from me or says something about me or handles me wrongly or does something to hurt me? Oh, it does hurt, no doubt. It does hurt. But if we're focused on heaven, if we're living like we could leave at any moment, oh, it won't matter. What can they do to hurt me? I'm going to go to heaven, and it won't matter a bit. If we're living, if we're living in a way to where we can leave at any moment, problems won't stop us, and people won't scare us, and possessions won't satisfy us. What in the world does this world have to offer? Show me a house big enough to compare to my mansion. The best this world has to offer is like a shack in the woods with no plumbing. What is in this world that I would want to hold on to? What is it in this world? What thing? What possession? What belonging? How much money does it take to overshadow heaven's glory and all that we'll experience there. Oh, if we're heavenly minded, if we're living like we could leave it any moment, oh, things of this world just will not satisfy us. Hey, I appreciate the good things. Oh, but we should not love them. We should not hold to them. We should not go after them. We should not, as the Bible says, love those things. We should love the things of heaven. Jesus said, let go of the things in this world. Cleave to that that's heavenly. Don't build up treasures here because they're going to decay. You buy a brand new car. You can go buy a Rolls Royce tomorrow. Pay $200,000 or $300,000 for it. I promise you, even though they say they don't, they will wear out. There will be a scratch. Someone will ding your door. You could buy a $10 million house tomorrow, and you'll find one the next day you wish you'd gotten instead. And the plumbing will go bad, and the floors will get dirty. There ain't nothing in this world worth holding on to. Their focus was horizontal. Are you going to fix this now? But then their focus changed to the heavenly. But not so much that they forgot about their work here. And that's where the Lord wants us to walk. Leaving, living. Living in a way to where we could leave at any moment. Because one day we will. Are you ready? Are you ready? When He comes, it'll be faster than that. There'll be no getting right. There'll be no fixing up. There'll be no changing, there'll be no repenting, there'll be no straightening out. It will be done before we even know it's happening, that quick. In the twinkling of an eye, that's faster than that. So my point is, if we're going to live ready to leave, we've got to live now as though we could leave in 5 seconds. If He comes in 5 seconds, will you be ready? Will you go to heaven with Him? He's coming only for those who are saved. If you're not saved, you'll be left behind to face 7 years of the worst, I say this reverently, hell on earth you could ever imagine. The wrath of God and the work of the devil will be poured out on this world in 7 years. But then you'll stand before God and be cast into the lake of fire and stay there forever. It just doesn't make sense to do that when you don't have to. If you're His child, where's your heart? Where's your affection? Oh, we talk about going to heaven. We ought to. But it should not be so focused that we just think that's an escape route. Even though it is, we need to realize my life is still in existence here. I need to serve Him now. Let's stand together, Gail, if you can come. Thank you for listening. You listened well. But now I want you to listen to the Spirit as He speaks to your heart and mind. Leaving, living. Living in a way to where we realize and remember we're going to be leaving one day. Are you ready? Father, please speak to hearts. Help us to listen to You. Speak to people now, including me. May we listen. May You change us. May You do a work in our lives as real as You did with the disciples that day on the Mount of Olives.